Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Listen, I took my love and I took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around. And then, you wouldn't believe it, I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hills till the landslide brought me down.
Beautiful.
Thank Perfect. You.
Maybe we should just skip our regular intro and just have that as
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today we're reading Chapter 10 of Battle Magic.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's have the landslide bring me down.
Because it opens with them just like riding on, right?
Yeah.
They're kind of trying to keep an eye on the road to, in case there are more people who want to kill them. Yeah. And of course, there are at some point.
Yeah, they run into a company of soldiers on the road, so they like try to get out of the way. Then they have they run into like a little squad of mages above them, and then Evie and Rose Thorn do their thing and fuck them up. And after those mages are dead, the rest of the company comes up, and then they're rescued by the
Gyeongshin warriors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then they ride their ponies, and then they go into a garrison, and that's kind of it. There's also sadness and vomiting and trauma.
Rose Thorn being an absolute savage.
We meet the leaders of the Gyeongshin forces, I believe.
Captain Reyna
and General Seirugo. Yes. Or do we not meet her yet?
We don't meet her yet, but
we hear about her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Spoilers, it's a she.
Yes. I think it says
Woman in armor in a Taylor Pierce book.
It's not like her most famous series is literally about a woman in armor.
Yeah. I don't know about all that.
You don't, because you haven't read them yet. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter.
My first one is a dislike. I had wondered if Evie ever had to kill anybody before she met Rose Thorn and Briar, and it was confirmed that she had. So that was kind of sad. I was hoping that was not the case, but it is. So that's kind of sad because she's 12 in this book. Yeah, and she. I don't. How long have they been traveling together? Just a few months, right?
No, they.
No, because she's 10 in street magic.
So.
At least a year, probably.
Geez, so she's killing people at 10 and younger. That's great.
It is stated that it was essentially in self-defense.
Yeah, of course, obviously. But it's still kind of saddening. A 10-year-old or younger has to protect herself out on the streets and killing people. That's so sad.
Yep.
Yeah.
My next one is a like. When Evie says, I don't like killing people. I'm like, that good. You shouldn't like killing people. That's really good. And Rose Thorn reassuring her, saying, hey, none of us likes doing it. You do realize that even Briar has nightmares about this. Nobody likes it. And he's like, oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. I'm like, you're right. So
I hate that she says, I don't like killing people, as if she thinks it's a weakness.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's like, no, that actually is a strength, that you don't like killing people.
Yeah, well, she did grow up on the street, so, I mean, I get why she would see that as a weakness, so.
It's one of those, like, it makes it kind of look like she's not capable of defending herself because she doesn't like doing that.
Right.
Like, especially in this context of them being in a fight.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing it, but she's not.
Yeah. I really like that Rose Thorn tells her, you aren't weak because you threw up. You're human. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Rose Thorn, you're so good.
Rose Thorn laying down truths.
Mm-hmm. My next one, very relatable. Evie thinks to herself, it wasn't fair that men didn't have to twist themselves into knots to pee. So great. They just have to stand up and whip it out, and they're good to go. We are like, do all this shit, like, squat down, like, have to make sure no one's around to look. It's an ordeal. My next one is when Rose Thorn is like, my boy's restless. Not you, Briar. My mount. I don't think he likes what he smells on the wind. I'm like, oh, she calls him her boy again.
I love it every time.
I have to love it. Not you.
Not you, my horse, okay? I have different boys, not just you. So cute.
She also calls Evie her boy.
Yeah. That's her only term of endearment. That's all she knows.
My next one is when Rose Thorn tells Evie, Evie, your chickens must take a nap. Talking about her cats. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the chickens have to go to sleep. My next one, I just like the description of this. When Evie's doing some of her magic, it says inside her head she could feel the stones in the cut between the two hills giggle as they shifted and slid. Like, ah, oh, the rocks are giggling. They're like, oh, we've never felt this before. What is this? This is fun.
Yeah, giggling. They're actually enjoying it, which is
like, cool. Oh, we don't have to just tumble. We're getting like pushed around with magic. This is a cool feeling. Who knew rocks had feelings?
Evie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My next one is a dislike, because when we meet these warriors from Gyanchi, the captain says the first dedicate has anticipated you. He waits at Fort Sambachu at the end of this gorge, our home base. And Rose Thorn is like, a fort, not the temple? So I don't trust them. I think something fishy's going on. This is weird. How do they know without being told? And then they're like, oh, we've been waiting on you. How did they know that Rose Thorn was going to show up? It's all very suspicious. I don't know. Especially with, like, the wanted posters, too. Did they find out that way? And if Wei Shu's armies have already...
Indy and Molly are having an absolute blast right now. Whoa. Just for everyone that can't see the video. They are
And
cracking up.
Weishu's army, they said that they got everybody rounded up, put away, but yet these people are out, and the God King knows, and the first dedicate or the is like they know something's not adding up here. I don't know. I'm very suspicious. I don't like it. I don't like it. So, dislike.
I think having a dedicate at a fort makes sense since they have
I
magic
know,
and
but they stated they rounded everyone up. They rounded everyone up. And they can't contact anybody. That's why Rosethorn had to physically go there because they can't talk to anybody. And yet now, First Dedicate Doki and the God King are just, they're just out. Like,
I think they
something's not
had an
adding up.
inkling. I think they had an idea something was going to happen. Now, whether or not they knew, and they figured Grosslyn would come back because of her obligations. But I don't know if it's like necessarily a bad thing that they did, but maybe they were just like, oh, if she happens to see info on the king and then bad things happen, she's going to come up here, right? So maybe she'll give us some info.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm very suspicious of these people. I don't trust them. I don't trust them.
I don't know.
It's very
I
suspicious.
trust them more than the Emperor, but not,
Well, obviously, yes, we trust them more than the Emperor, but I don't know. I feel like they might be in cahoots with them. I don't know. Like, oh, we're gonna die anyway. Weishu has all these armies, and we're just a tiny little country, so.
I don't know. I think they were expecting her to come back so they she can help them,
I
maybe.
don't know.
But
Something's not
we'll
adding
see.
up for me. I don't know. I don't trust it. I don't trust it.
Man, usually I'm the paranoid one. This is
I don't trust it.
what a flip.
With my next one is a like. I don't know. It's whatever. Rosethorn lets Briar know. Oh, hey, you could have used the cotton in their necklaces too. And he's like. Oh, okay. So I don't know if I really like that. It's just interesting that he didn't realize that he could have done it and he's surprised that Rosethorn did. I don't
Rosethorn
know.
just being an absolute savage, going, "Yeah,
Right?
I can do that. You could
But
do it too."
you could do it too. Because she's like, they truly don't understand ambient magic. Because he's like, they just let you do it. And she's like, yeah, because they don't understand our magic. You know this. You could have done this too. Yay! Awesome. My next one is I liked that it's a little bit more world building of Briar and Evie wanted to go through the enemy's mage kits, and Rosethorn reminds him, "Hey, we put booby traps on ours. Why wouldn't you think that they wouldn't do the same thing to theirs?" And he's like, "You know what? You're right." So I thought that was pretty cool world building. Because I don't think we've ever really touched on them ever booby trapping their mage kits. I mean, it's kind of hinted at, but it's not
Yeah.
like
I
said.
know that specifically
I
in
think they said it's something about Sandri's.
there's commentary on Sandri's because when Briar does his tattoos,
Also, Daja's in The Will of the Empress, because she tells
there
her
is,
maid something.
yeah, and
Okay.
then there's a mention of it in Street Magic because he was like, never touch this. I'm the only one who can do this. You grab it from here specifically. Don't do it. But I think that's about as much as we get.
My next one is when they get to camp, Parahont and Briar wrap Rosethorn and Evie in blankets and prop them in front of the fire. I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. Here you go. Your little bundles, put y'all in front of the fire. Here you go. I know y'all are tuckered out. Y'all did a lot of magic today.
Oh,
You're just
they're
so sleepy.
sleepy.
You're so sleepy. It's all the care that they put for each other. It's so sweet. I like that a lot of women serve in the army. I think that's really cool.
We love strong
Because
women.
I know, was it
I also wrote that down.
Kunbab removed his helmet to free a tumbling waist-length braid of black hair. He grinned at Briar's obvious surprise. Like, yes.
Gone.
Yes.
I wrote, woo, women in the army.
Yeah. And Bravo. Some of them even stay after they get married, too. So that's pretty cool.
I was gonna say, it's probably really uncommon in other areas, especially like when we see how Triss and Sandry were both raised. So there's probably not a lot that have women in the army, period, much less women of higher ranking.
My next one is when the cats are waking up. It says that Monster sticks his head through the opening in the side of his carrier and squeaks. For a large cat, he had a very tiny voice.
It's Mordred.
So cute.
And Raz.
Raz gets loud.
It's like Santiana.
So when it said tiny voice, I was thinking high pitch. Because Raz is like this big meaty sucker, and then he's like.
I was gonna say like Mordred's very much the same.
And then I thought of my mom's cat, Stupid Cat, because Stupid Cat was pretty big, but he literally squeaked.
So cute. And then Briar just grins at him and is like, "You don't hold a grudge, do you, old man?" She's really digging it in, like, oh, love these cats. Love these cats. They're all gonna die. They're all gonna die. Love them so much. So it hurts you even more when they pass.
It's not gonna happen. Not happen.
All right, whatever you say, Goodwin.
Nope, not happening.
All right.
Goodwin will single-handedly save the cats.
I will jump in
when we get to the part where they're going to be killed. Goodwin, it's just going to be like, and then Goodwin Gifford appeared in a flowing cape and scooped them away.
Yes.
And adopted them all. And then we're going to go to his house.
Into the woods.
And, yeah.
And there's just
going to
be eight, like nine cats now.
Yeah.
My last one is, these mountains weren't like any others they had seen. I wonder why. Could it possibly be Luvo? They meet Luvo here.
Big mountain.
She gets, the mountains were singing to her, and she just was enthralled and was chasing after the singing of the mountains and was tripping people with rocks. So it was calling to her. Like, it's Luvo. It's fucking Luvo. We're going to get Luvo with this book. I'm so excited.
I'd be surprised if we see the gummy bear before, like, the last, like, two or three chapters.
He has to show up at some point in this book. He has to.
Yeah.
He has to. If we don't get him, like, within at least the last couple chapters, he has to be here somewhere.
I mean, this is where he comes from.
This is where he comes from. And the mountains are singing to her. Why else would they be singing to her? They're the god singing to her. He's going to come out of his mouth and be like, Evu Meme. Here I am, the gummy bear, Luba.
I imagine him just, like, popping out of the set, like, just, like, bouncing down. No.
I'm excited to see him. Mm-hmm. This will be great. It's going to be great.
I already mentioned this, but I'm just going to reiterate. In The Will of the Empress, I mentioned this in the last episode. In The Will of the Empress, everybody wants Triss to do battle magic, but all of these kids have battle magic capabilities.
Yep, we definitely discussed that last episode, for sure.
And then I wrote the whole paragraph on page 172. Evie yanked her hands up. Rocks flew into the air above the ridge. The archers dropped their bows as they covered their eyes with their hands. She tugged her hands forward. The mages had protected themselves from the airborne stones, but it was another matter to have the ground pull away from their feet. They stumbled, trying to stay upright. Something was going wrong with the long strings of beads in their hands. They twisted together around the mage's wrists, binding them like rope. The loops of beads around each mage's neck spun swiftly, winding tighter and tighter, strangling the wearer. The mages struggled to pull their traitor necklaces away from their necks without success. Their faces got redder and redder as they fought to breathe. And then, right under that, I wrote, "Remind me not to piss these folk off." As Parahan said in a previous chapter, you could kill a man with those.
And they do.
And they did.
And they did. I love the orange crossbow bolts that people, like, Evie thinks that they're on fire at first and then realizes, oh no, They're just bolts, but at first thinks they're flaming, which is fantastic. It actually reminds me of twice now in the last week. I was driving around Sunset, and I grew up in New Mexico where forest fires are a major issue, and like I know people whose houses have been burned down because of forest fires. So when I see fires on the side of the road, I freak out. Even when they're like controlled, like I'm always like I slow down or I pull over to like make sure that somebody's watching them or like to see if they're like controlled in some way. Twice in the last week, I've been driving along these like curvy roads and seen like a forest fire in the distance, like, oh shit. And then I realized it's not actually a forest fire. It's the sunset shining through the trees at the right angle. So, which is kind of cool. And I've heard this phrase of like, oh, when the sun hits this ridge just right, the trees catch fire. And like now I'm like, oh, that's a literal thing. That happens for realsies. So it's kind of cool to experience that.
Yeah.
I wish I'd written down a page number on this. I wrote, I guess this is why it's important for Weishu to put on a facade of perfection to get the type of reaction out of people as Evie has. Because I think that she's like, how are we going to defeat this guy? Like, he has all these armies. And he's the emperor of Yanjing. There's no way.
Yeah. There was a comment of how could Yangshi ever like defeat him because it's so small.
Yeah. And so I feel like he has very carefully crafted this image so that people are too afraid to challenge him.
I'm gonna bring up that line specifically later on in mine because I got a funny thing.
I do have a little spoiler just on like military strategic things. You don't always have to beat an army to win. You don't have to beat them outright. You just have to make them bleed enough to where they don't want to continue.
Page 177. Briar had a drink and looked around at the mess they had made. They and the Emperor's soldiers of the beautiful mountain cove. And I just really like the environmental perspective. And it's just that like one little sentence, but it's a nice addition to Meave. Like, we're not only destroying each other, but we're also destroying the literal world that we're living in. And the last thing I wrote is Briar doesn't have his shakan.
Said,
you have so many people and we're so small. Just gonna murder all of you. We'll just put you in an open grave because there's not enough room. Sucks to be you. That's how I picture Yangshi.
You know, bodies make great fertilizer.
As we have found out. She wasn't really sure when the thorns would stop growing. Rosethorn and Briar created very determined magic. Just, that is one way to state that.
It makes sense. They're two very determined mages.
Yes. Yes, they are. These were mountains for all they looked like hills close up. Like, I love that line. Because living in the Ozarks like we do, I'm used to mountains. I've grown up on this mountain. Like these are things that, like, I am very used to. And so, like, going to places that are very flat feel real weird. Like, any time that I go to, like, St. Louis or Dallas or Oklahoma, anywhere, they just have very flat landscapes in comparison. And so it's like, you know, when I'm driving back, I can feel going up. And it's just like, these are hills. My hills. The other day, we were talking about elevation in my D&D group, because we all live in different parts of the U.S. and fake land, Canada. One of them lives at Canada. We joke that he lives in fake land, but we're talking about talking about elevations. One of them was like, I think Indy's like the second lowest. And I went, nah. And I was like, this is what my elevation is. And they're like, you are the second highest. How did this happen? I'm like, that's because of where I live. I live in the mountains. But I really liked that as someone who has grown up here. They look like hills to us because we've been here and we know them and we bitch about. I bitch about one in particular every time I have to go up it because it's so goddamn steep and it's so fucking frustrating and annoying. But then I'm also like, bitch, you live on the side of a mountain. Like, stop bitching about it. Mountains are steep. The other one is, after a moment, Evie leaned against Briar's shoulder. A glance told her Rosethorn had stretched out on the grass and cradled her head on Briar's knee.
No.
Do you want to lie down? Evie asked Briar. I don't mind. I'll just lean against you, he said. We can prop each other up. They're so cute. I love them so much. Ah! Like, and we see that same kind of like care and love when Briar's like, hey, can I take one of the horses and just have Evie with me so she doesn't fall off? And then Parahan's like, hey, can Rosalind sit with me so she doesn't just like fall off?
They both did big magic.
They both
They're
did
so
big magic.
sleepy.
They're sleepy Eevee.
Sleepy babies. And that was, those were my three that weren't stolen.
Awesome.
Right at the beginning, where I guess we kind of touched on drama, but god damn, fucking Evie just like, damn, I keep thinking about that guy's neck that I cut, and it just keeps popping up in her head, and all I could write was, yeah, PTSD, because pretty traumatic thing to do to a person.
It fucking sucks, regardless if you are defending yourself. Like that sucks a
That'll
lot.
fuck you up.
Yeah.
God, I love Evie talking about the daggers she carries, because she carries three or five, actually.
And then the commentary of not knowing where all of Briar's are.
Right?
Even she doesn't know. Frankly, I feel like Briar would probably forget one at some point. Like,
Yeah.
and he goes to bed and like, oh, what's stopping me? Oh, I forgot about this night. Oh,
What? Because what was the count last time? Like 8 or 9? Or were we up to
man. I thought
11?
it was like 11, didn't we?
That's like as many knives as I have in my collection. Like,
Yeah.
not on my
It's
person. Jesus Christ.
a high
Oh
number.
yeah, in Will of the Empress, I think it's he removes 9 knives, not including the ones in his boots.
Which
And
are.
I don't remember if it's 2 knives in his boots or 4 knives in his boots.
Yeah. He has a lot.
Again, with the kind of like strategic use of mages, Evie making a smooth stone path under her horses and the mules, like, so they get better footfalls, and like also the ability to like cushion the footfall so they don't make noise. Like, the implications for like a logistics train or just moving through areas that are less than permissible are kind of staggering. Someone can just make a road where there wasn't one and then drive all your supplies or people through it. That's huge. I can't explain how important that is.
And then can she make it unroad after them?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you don't even. Yeah, it's.
Beautiful. She's insane.
They had tea because Rosethorn is struggling to breathe in the high altitudes. I'm assuming that's like the oxygen deprivation thing when you're at high altitudes. Like, just have to breathe harder to do it. And apparently, they have a tea that can just fix that. Like, does the tea give you more oxygen or something? Like, if it does, also.
There are actually like medicinal things that you can take that help with your lungs. It helps them absorb the oxygen, like your body absorb the oxygen more like properly, so it doesn't feel like you're suffocating. I don't know of
That's.
any teas that do that, but I know that there are medications that do. And I'm assuming it's kind of like the same thing. It just helps your body. Yeah, and there's the whole dying thing. Like, she's had a lot of issues since that.
Her lungs are a little sleepy eepy themselves, I guess.
Yes, they are.
When the whole group kind of comes across the Ying Jingyi mages above them, and like, this is kind of huge, like when you're in that sort of situation, like scouting an area or trying to like sneak past something unnoticed, you have to pay attention to all of your senses. Because yeah, sometimes you can just straight up smell stuff that you can't see or hear or notice any other way. And like they can apparently smell whatever it was bamboo, seaweed, vinegar, peony, maybe, definitely pomegranate. But they can smell the mages and whatever good smelly stuff they were wearing, like up the hill.
But you catch what all of it is that they smell, right? They're all plants. Or derived from plants.
I didn't even notice it when they're rescued and they get to the kind of the first camp. The Yangxian infantry ask if they can eat their chickens. Yeah, no, it was Evie and Briar were like, you're not gonna like them. Not chickens, they're not as tasty as you think. That just reminded me that cat meat was legal to eat in 44 states until 2018. So just fun little fact. And next, when they actually start eating their actual rations, they describe the soldiers eating a bowl of dough mixed with cheese and tea, which I thought was neat. And I had to look up, and it's a Tibetan thing. It's called tampa, or just pa. It's a powdery ball of dough made with butter, tea, and cheese, and it will choke you if you inhale while chewing. You have to like eat it without inhaling in your mouth because it's very powdery and dusty. And apparently, when Chinese soldiers were in the area and they tried those rations, like that food, they would choke because it's just very dusty, kind of dusty, cheesy, buttery dough. Yeah, Briar was very nice and not and not just spitting it out.
That reminds me a little bit of eating beignets.
Yeah, that powdered sugar just goes everywhere.
I forgot one because it's like the very, very last line of this chapter. The dislike of what could he say to her that would compete with the highest mountains in the world? Sorry, I just had to throw that in there
Scary,
because I
scary to
was like,
think of.
fuck, that's one.
If one of those mountains is Luvo, does that mean that Luvo is Everest?
I think there's a high possibility that it could be K2 or something.
I just like from now on when people talk about Mount Everest, I'm just gonna think of
Yeah,
Oh, the Gummy Bear Mountain. Yeah, everyone has heard of
everybody does the Gummy Bear Mountain.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to one to two coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and t-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we talk about a theme or a message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
I didn't really find one. I mean,
I don't think I wrote one down.
There's a lot of fighting.
I wrote care or protection, with Evie doing her magic to secure like a road for them to travel while they're going. I feel shows care and protection. And then her pulling, having a landslide when they get ambushed. I feel like that is also protection and care. Also, whenever they run into the soldiers, Parahan and Briar put Evie and Rosethorn onto their horses with them. So that's also care. Also, wrapping them up in blankets and putting them in front of a fire shows care. So I feel like there's a lot of care being shown throughout this chapter. Caring about the cats.
Not
making sure they don't get eaten.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
The only theme that I found was the trauma, and the everyone's kind of trauma bonding with having to kill in self-defense. Which
Yay,
sucks.
Trauma bonding.
Yeah. Listen, some of my best friends I've trauma bonded with, but it's not ideal.
Common and, theme in this series as a whole.
True. Very true. But yeah, it's you see it very profusely in Evie, but you know, they also talk about how Rose Thorn and Briar also have their moments of night terrors from all the stuff they've seen and had to do.
I just gotta point out, it's really weird that the two writers of this group didn't come up with themes this time. And me and Goodwin actually had ones this time. Because it's usually me and Goodwin that are like, I didn't find one. And we both had one.
You know, maybe we should try writing. Huh?
Maybe we should.
It won't be very good, but I'll try.
Hey, listen, you gotta start somewhere.
I mean, I could maybe, I don't know. Yeah, absolutely. I'll just cheer y'all on. Rah, rah, go. Write books. Write
best
stuff.
Leader we've ever had.
But, see, isn't that kind of how writing goes, though? You just write your shit, and then later people are like, ah, yes.
Yes.
The oranges represent. And you're just like, no, dude, I fucking like oranges.
The blue curtains symbolize. Nah, bitch, they're just blue.
I chose that color at random.
Yeah.
Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives.
Mine was when they're getting ready to go. And it says, when they were ready, Rosethorn told Parahan, Evie leaves. And his eyes went wide with surprise. He's like, Evie? And Rosethorn's like, you'll see. Go on, girl. Like, don't underestimate children. I feel like we've had this discussion before. It's been something we've said in previous chapters and books and whatever. But Parahan is like, she's just a child. Like, what is she going to do? Why is she the one leading? And then she ends up using her magic to be able to clear the road out and to make sure that they don't make any sounds while they're walking through the... Are they walking through woods, forest? I don't know. Wherever they're walking, wherever she's making sure that they don't make any sound while they're doing it. And, like, don't underestimate her. And I bet he definitely doesn't underestimate her after the landslide that she pulls, too. So don't underestimate people, especially if they're kids. Like, kids are capable of doing great things as well.
I actually didn't write one down for this either. Which makes me wonder if I even finished my notes. I may have just, like, not. But we're going to go with killing people is not a weakness. Not liking killing people is not a weakness.
There we go.
There you go.
We got close.
I feel like that also could pertain to a lot of things, not just not liking not killing people. Not liking killing people is not a weakness.
See, it's hard to say.
It is. It's a tongue twister. I feel like that can pertain to a lot of things as well, not just about killing people. Like, people find things and weakness in a lot of different things and doesn't make them weak. So I like that one.
A good way to sum it up is like empathy is not a weakness.
Yeah.
Caring for others is not a weakness. Like I made a commentary because someone said something. Imagine somebody having a stupid take on the internet where I was just like, you don't have to look like someone or talk like someone or, you know, have the same beliefs as someone to say, you know, they shouldn't suffer. They shouldn't, you know, be killed for whatever reason, whatever arbitrary reason that you find. Empathy is not a weakness. Brittany is a good mom.
Thanks, guys. I don't feel like it most days, but thank you.
You're doing your best.
I'm trying.
Hey, I've already said before, you're trying to break a circle of trauma. So that is real hard to do.
Balloons!
If sometimes you fail, that does not make you a bad person. And I think that could be said about anything. Failing at trying to be better is not a flaw as long as you get up and you try again.
They see your balloons, yes.
I see your balloons, yeah.
Are you excited about your balloons?
It's so stinking cute.
Look, like, what are you doing?
Do feel like the commentary you made in the side chat should be said.
Oh, sin in Judaism?
Yeah.
Sin in Judaism is well summed up as failing at trying to be better. The word is related to, it means something along the lines of missing the mark and is typically compared to an archer firing at a target.
Yeah. Just because you don't hit a bullseye your first try does not mean that you
go suck to hell.
It means that you need to keep trying to be better.
Yeah.
I talk to my grandmother every week. I love this woman endlessly. Like, she means everything to me. But we have very different religious affiliations, we'll say. But I told her one day that my beliefs are you wake up every day and you try and be better than you were the day before. And if you have a bad day, it does not make you a bad person. It just means tomorrow you have to try to be better than the day before. She said something. It was essentially along the lines of, I have never looked at it like that. And I was like, I don't think that any just God, whatever belief you have, whatever religion you follow, whatever God you follow, I don't think a just God would punish someone for trying to be better. That's what I told her. And she's like, no, like, I like that view because humans are flawed. We are flawed by definition. Like, we fall and we do things that hurt others intentionally or not. And like, the trying to be better is this part. I'm like, yeah, see, yeah. Look.
I think it's attributed to Albert Einstein, but who knows, right? That you never fail until you stop trying.
I say this kind of thing a lot about prejudice, racism, sexism, homophobia, whatever, because we have all grown up in a prejudiced society, and so we all have implicit bias. So having prejudice doesn't make you a bad person. It's how you handle it. You can embrace it and be an asshole to everyone, or you can try and recognize that, like, well, I have this prejudice and I want to try and, like, be better than what I have, like, absorbed from society.
Well, sometimes just what you gotta do. You just gotta try and work through your shit and be a better person. I think everybody needs to work through their shit and be a better person. Some people will not do this.
Mm-hmm.
But
some people are Emperor Weishu.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say there was a thing I read about the difference between like self-intellectualism and self-awareness. There's a big difference between those two things. Self-awareness is knowing, hey, this thing about me, and self-intellectualism is, oh yeah, I have this thing, even if it's not. Self-awareness is wanting to be better. Self-intellectualism is more of, oh, I'm a terrible person for these things. There's a lot of language about apologies and, that need to be changed. Instead of, I'm sorry you feel that way, it's, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. That is kind of one of those things of just like, I feel there's a lot of language that needs to be changed, especially about failing. Failing yourself, failing other people, just because you do does not mean you're bad. It means you're human.
This is actually one of the things that I really like about Powered by the Apocalypse games. I don't know if all of them use this language, but several of them do, at least. When you fail a role, you mark potential.
Yes.
And then when your like potential bar fills up, then you get better. And I love that because it's mimicking the way life works. You mess up and you learn from your mistakes and you get better. And that's literally how the leveling up system works in these games. And I have always thought that's awesome. And I want to figure out how, I haven't yet, but I want to figure out how to like utilize that mechanic in my classroom. Like I want to figure out how to convert it into like a classroom mechanic with that language so that students understand when you make mistakes, it's not failing, it's potential.
You learn. You cannot learn without making mistakes. Just period. Mine is taken specifically from the conversation between Rose Thorne and Evie pretty early on. It's she had been so caught up in the picture of the dead man that she'd forgotten all the time she had been roused to the night by Briar and Rose Thorne crying out in their dreams. Sometimes we see our trauma. I know I am so guilty of this. I hate being this way. When I do something in reaction to my brain recognizing my trauma and it affects someone else, because we don't ever know what other people have gone through. There's shit I've been like, yeah, this is a thing I've gone through, but there's like a whole nother level to it that I don't talk about because, like, there's a lot of baggage there and I don't really want to dump all of that, But there are reasons I don't like being touched. It's not just because of the way I grew up. It's not just my mother's incapability of being affectionate, but there are some people who are very touchy and that is their love language. There's been more than once where someone I do genuinely trust and I genuinely love and like they've just come up and hugged me or like put their hand on me or whatever in like this affectionate manner, and I immediately respond out of trauma brain. I've gotten better at it, but I have a really good friend who he used to like come up in my blind spot and like put his arm around me. And my immediate reaction when someone does that is to just elbow. Even if I know it's literally only this one person, like it is a response to trauma, but he is a very affectionate person, like very physically affectionate. The point I'm trying to make is I know I do it and I know other people do it. We respond in trauma without thinking of other people and how that could affect them. You might not be intentionally trying to push your trauma on them, but they might have, oh, they might be affectionate because they didn't, they had a similar upbringing to mine, but it made them more touchy and physically affectionate, whereas it made me the opposite. And so, like, rejecting that affection could be like a, oh God, affecting their, it's, yeah, I don't think I'm explaining it eloquently, but be mindful of, you're not the only one with shit. Like, you're not the only one with baggage. Mm-hmm. And you can't act like you're the only one with baggage. And
everyone's going through shit.
Yeah.
It's very similar to what we see in Melting Stones.
Yeah.
Well, I have a very deep and important personal message that I got from this chapter. And it's try new things, especially food. You might like the yak cheese butter dough. Maybe. Give it a try. Never had Thai food before? Go out and have a banh mi. Go get some pad Thai. Go try something new. You never know. You might like it. You might hate it, but at least you said you tried it.
Yeah.
Expand your horizons. Don't just eat chicken nuggets and mac and cheese. Guess what? That's not nutritionally complete. You're going to die of fucking jaundice. Like, it's going to be...
Stop fucking calling me out there.
Too bad. No, that's bullshit. No. You eat
food. That's the person who's making gumbo next week.
You're literally making gumbo.
I was going to say, like...
Also, you have food out. Don't... This is not...
I was going to say, for the last 4 days, I've eaten nothing but crackers and cheese and potato salad. That's it. That's all I've wanted.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 11 of Battle Magic. Chapter 11. Fort Sambachu, Snow Serpent Pass, Gyeongsi. The sunrise was just touching the river the next day when the hills in the east ended in towering cliffs. They were free of the gorge. Half a mile on, they found a wide bridge that crossed the Snow Serpent River. They turned south and rode across it, off the main road. A lesser road following a deep stream took them to a short and jagged hill where Fort Sambachu was built at the feet of the Drimbikang Low Mountains. By then, Briar was leading Evie's pony. Her eyes were fixed on the soaring peaks ahead. In the gorge, the hills had obscured the mountains beyond. Here, Evie saw the immense snowy heights that stood between Gyeongsi and the realms of the sun. See those three? Kanbab asked Evie, pointing to the nearest mountains. According to the worshippers of Lani Ma, our sun goddess, those mountains are her husband's. The east one is Ganas Rigyalpo, the snow king. The west one is Ganas Gazig Rigyalpo, the snow leopard king. And the one in the middle is Kangri Skadpo, the talking snow mountain king. What does that mean, the talking snow mountain king? Briar asked. He wasn't sure if Evie even heard. Kanbab looked at Briar. I think the worshippers feel he is the most conversational of the Sun Queen's husbands. The Sun isn't a queen in the living circle, Evie murmured. Kanbab smiled at her. But this is Gyeongsi, the home of many faiths. Surely they told you that when you were here for the winter. Garmashing itself has more temples than even the God King can count, it is said. People come here to build at least one temple for their faith, because our realm is closest to the heavens and our mountains hold them up. And why do people want to be close to the gods? Evie wanted to know. Back home, Shaihun does horrible things to people. Kanbab gave Briar a strange look. Shaihun is a god of the deep desert, Briar explained. Is that Fort Sambachu or a temple? It's the fort, Kanbab said in confirmation. Let those lowland creepers come against us there and see what they get. Briar had to admit, the fort looked promising. Its hill and its towers commanded a view of the pass, the road, and the grassy plain for a good distance. The curtain walls sloped inward and climbed the hill in steps, which would allow the archers on the highest level to shoot above the heads of those lower down. Around the outer walls, an army of 500 or more tents was camped, flying banners in crimson, turquoise, and emerald silks. Evie yelped and reined up, almost forcing her mount to rear. Briar instantly reached for her horse's bridle, though he was trying to keep from pulling too hard on his own animal's reins. Wait, wait, Captain Rana called, raising a hand. It's all right. They are allies and welcome ones at that. Kanbab rested a hand on Evie's elbow. If you're this jumpy now, what will you do when we get to the war? She asked. We're just getting ready for it. Garmashing is where you'll find the real danger. Parahan rode up beside Evie. These are Kanban poor flags, but not my uncle's or my father's. What is going on here? He dismounted and walked into the tent village. He'll catch up with us, Rana said. Come on, the general's waiting for you.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellow is for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellow is for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
We'll see if we talk about the thing.
Yeah.
I love Goodwin's face. I'm so excited about this.
The thing. I love hearing about the thing. I can't wait till I hear about the thing.
You will enjoy hearing about the thing. You will enjoy the thing next episode. Good. When we record.
I'm excited.
And not in a, oh, it's the thing, fuck us up type of way.
No. Ah, okay.
Good. Although there is the other thing that happens.
Oh, God, not the other thing. Oh, shit.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.